Everybody, welcome to Monsters Lounge.
Oh boy.
You know what? My name is Jenna. Today? Or oh, Jenna. It is? Jenny. What is happening? This is what
today
happens.
Today is weird.
Today is weird. This is what happens when you throw me with that throwing me back into the intro thing. I'm just blaming you because I don't want to take responsibility.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Jenny. Hi, I'm Tressa, by the way, everyone. Hello. How are you?
That's See, great. I tried to combine us into one day. Person. That's how much I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
Oh, we're just going to jam our names together and live happily ever after
in our spaceship.
That we're in right now.
Yeah, we got UFO guys with us. What's happening? I'm having a day. Jenny!
Listen.
Yeah.
We got a great guest tonight who is much better at this than we are.
Oh, I hope so.
If he introduces himself with his own correct name, he's already winning.
Wow. I hope so because.
Dave Scott is here tonight, and he is from Spaced Out Radio. He created it, hosts it. It's amazing. It's a fantastic show. He does really great interviews because he is a former radio journalist, graduated with broadcast communications. He spent nearly 10 years in radio, mostly in sports, which I find interesting, and it sort of brings up these ideas of now I want to hear him sort of do sports radio, but paranormal edition, like maybe the aliens versus Bigfoot.
Some play-by-plays.
Yeah. In one of those sports games that I watch.
Or
so
some
often.
Like maybe not real Bigfoot footage. We could get a play-by-play of that because usually I can't see what's happening anyway.
Oh, there we go. That. I would like that too. His personal quest into the unknown started in December of 2011, and he's been kind of into it ever since. He's talked to a huge number of paranormal people, and it's amazing. He's even had experiences himself, which makes it extra cool to talk to him. So, Tressa, will you please help me, Jenny? Welcome Dave Scott to the show.
Yay!
Hi, how are you?
Starting off with a bang.
Yes.
We're doing
great. I screwed up Jenny before the show, wondering if her name was Yenny or Jenny.
I can't even
she is
get it
soft
right.
J or a hard J. I didn't know.
Yeah, I was so concentrated on the beginning that I forgot about how to say the end of my name that I've had forever.
Yenny.
That's impressive, Jenny. I'm never going to let you forget that.
I don't think you should. Although, good. Knowing your memory, I think I got about 2 days. 2 days of hearing it.
That's fair, but also shut up.
Yeah. Didn't you say something about Mercury and retrograde or
yep.
something? Mercury
and technology
jail, maybe.
Is proving it up and down. Do you see how crazy my lights are? Like, I'm either too bright or too dark. Here we go. What? Listen.
All right. Nobody wants to hear about us anymore. We're
what?
Done.
No, let's talk about Mercury and retrograde because everyone finds that fascinating. I'm just kidding. No one does.
Listen. We don't claim to be experts on this show. In fact, we claim to be the opposite of experts. We're just very interested. And the first thing that struck me when I was looking through Spaced Out Radio, your website, was that you have had contact with at least five different species of aliens. I'm familiar with maybe a couple.
Yes. I'm a weirdo. That's first and foremost, and I think in order to do what we need to do, you have to be a weirdo in one mm-hmm. way, shape, or form, and I don't mind being called a weirdo. You know, it's, when I started having experiences, I was very unsure of what was going on, and you know, I was working with someone to try and understand. His name is Pascal. He's like my guru.
That's a perfect name for a guru.
Right?
Yeah.
If you saw the man, he's like 6'3", about 350 pounds, and he's a giant teddy bear. But when he shakes your hand, he lets you know, like, don't mess with me because I could crush you kind of thing, right? And I remember him when he started opening me up, he stated to me, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? And I made the mistake of saying all the way. So we worked on things from channeling to spiritual contact to cryptid contact. And then all of a sudden he started saying, you know, my guides are telling me that you need to start getting into the ETs. I went, hell no. Nope. I saw fire in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Right. Terrifying. Nightmares.
Don't need that. Don't need no aliens or anything like that. And he's like, well, what if you don't have a choice? I said, what about my free will? And it kind of started from there. Next thing I knew, I could go outside and watch UFOs fly over. It was weird. I thought they were satellites. But the weird part about it is, over top of my house, every night, I'd go outside and watch the stars. And over top of my house, every night, I'd see these real power-ups, which I thought were satellites. No, they weren't. It led to black triangle sightings, led to actually, in 8 days from this recording, it will be the 10-year anniversary of me being called outside of my friend's house to communicate with a UFO that was landed 150 yards away from me. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Is that
and
hard for that?
The 15th of this month, it will be the 10-year anniversary that I met a young lady named Samantha Mowat. And 20 minutes after meeting her, we walked into a forest. And there was a 10 to 12 foot extraterrestrial standing there watching us.
I'm going to need details of what this guy looks like.
Yep.
Big.
We got that part.
It's hard to understand the entire scenario. I'll tell you the whole story, but I'm going to give you the condensed version. So on April 10th, 2014, I was driving to my friend's house. We're no longer friends with them. They turned out to be not so nice people. But they had this 10-acre property in Mission, British Columbia that was up on a mountain, and there were two houses on their street. There was their 10 acres and their elderly neighbors, 6.5 acres. And both properties were kind of horseshoed in the middle of a horseshoe that was surrounded by forest. And so on that particular night, as I was commuting back from work, which was about 30, 35 miles away, I started getting a really bad migraine. And like, it was to the point where I didn't even know if I could drive. You know, I don't know if you've ever had migraines where car headlights are really painful to your eyes. So I struggled my way getting home. I went over there. My partner was there for tea, and she said, hey, how you doing? And I said, I'm sorry, I have a really bad migraine. And she goes, well, do you want to go home? I said, no, you just got here for tea. And I said, I'll hang out. I'm just going to go sit on the couch and try and put a pillow over my head and just block out get some darkness to refocus. So after about half hour, 40 minutes, my headache started to subside, and I went over to, kind of started looking around. And then I realized that I wasn't done with my headache, but it wasn't a headache. It was actual pulsating of shapes on my head. It started off as a square at the front of my head, went to this side as a triangle, went to this side as a circle. And immediately after the pain subsided, I knew I had to go outside into their backfield. And I looked at my partner and said, I got to go. I got to go outside. And she's like, can I come? I said, oh, no. She said, is something out there? I said, yes. She goes, can I come? I said, no, you're not allowed. You have to stay inside, because we had our son at the time was 10 months old. Hmm. And the lady of the house, I never mentioned her name because she's not a nice person. She looks at her hubby and says, Dave is picking something out. Get your shoes on. We need to go right now. And I looked at her and I said, he's not invited. And the first question I had is to myself was, why would I tell anybody that he's not invited on his own property? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't think about that until after. So her and I go outside, the lady of the house and I go outside. We walk about 50 feet into their backyard. They got this old 2x10 horse fence. And it's a night where it's about 10 o'clock at night now. And it was one of those real, I don't know if you get them in Illinois, but in British Columbia, near Vancouver, the Lower Mainland is what we call it, because that's like a natural rainforest. We get a lot of misty spring nights where you got low cloud and everything is misty, where the mist just kind of sinks through your clothes and into your skin. It was one of those nights. And so in between the two properties of the 10 acres of my friends and the 6.5 acres of their neighbors, elderly neighbors with no children, nobody living there but them, there was a row of trees that kind of grew over the years between the fence lines. And these trees were probably, 60, 70 feet tall. That's going to be important here momentarily. So we started getting the feeling that something was out there. And my friend says to me, well, they called you outside, talk to them. I'm like, well, what the hell do I say? Right. And she goes, just talk. So I said, you called us outside out of God's peace, love, and light. Can you please show us where you are? And as soon as I finished saying, can you show us where you are? The entire forest from the neighbor's yard lit up like a Christmas tree. Ooh. Okay. So I don't call myself skeptical, but I think everybody has to have a piece of skepticism in them. So I started looking at this and I said, holy crap. It was more profanity. And I'm looking around and it's this beaming white light. The white light is so bright, but you can look at it. It's not hurting your eyes. Okay. And it's going right through the trees. So immediately my first reaction is, okay, this is about 150 yards away from us, a nice 7-iron to the green. And okay, what else am I noticing? Is there noise? There is no noise. Is this one of those 100,000 candle watt flashlights? Okay. Could somebody have heard me? No, they're not going to hear me talking in the volume that I'm talking to you at from 150 yards away.
Right.
Okay. Are there people moving? Are there shadows? I'm looking for everything to try and make sense of this. And after about 30 seconds, the light goes off. So I'm like, okay. And my friend says to me, do it again. See if they'll come. I said, if you are of alien descent out of God's peace, love, and light, can you please turn your lights back on? Bang. Lights come back on my command again. This time it's brighter. The white light is brighter through the trees. But I'm seeing something that doesn't make sense. So I moved to my right to get a path through the trees so I could see better. Okay. And I see this elongated blue, dark blue cylinder standing from in the middle of this white light. The white light is all around it. Okay. But the weird part about it is it's not lighting up their back barn. It's like a 3/4 light that's shining towards us. This cylinder is sitting there and it's got this black cloud on it that is rotating counterclockwise, going halfway up and then it would make its way down and then halfway up and make its way down. And I'm like, oh my God, like I am just trying to take this all in. And for people, I get a lot of criticism over this story and the others because people will say, well, did you have your phone on you? Yes, I did. Okay. Listen, but you know what? When you are having an absolute moment, the last thing you were thinking of is, can you hold on a second, please? I'm just going to grab my phone here. Okay. Let's zoom in. Okay. Stop. Bang. Take the phone.
This isn't a problem I've had with this community forever. Of course, you're not going to think about doing anything but looking and trying to figure out what you're doing.
We are all from a generation that, like, that's not your first go-to. No. Like, it's just not. We didn't record things.
And even if
things,
you are from a generation.
I can barely take photos when I'm thinking of taking photos. Yes. And when I've got a little reminder, but...
Well,
no criticism here. We're behind. So,
I believe people more when they don't have evidence of that, because that means that they were fully in that moment and confused.
Yes. So my friend, then after the lights go off after about 30 seconds again, my friend says, let's walk over there. And I said, no, we're staying right here. And she goes, no, well, I'm going over there. So I reached into my back pocket, pull out my man card, right? Not that I'm a, what's that trendy word that people are using today for chauvinist?
Toxic masculinity.
No, not toxic. Anyways, I'm just trying to put in a little bit of humor here. But I said, no, I said, you are not leaving me. And because I was a little bit scared. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit scared. I'm 150 yards away from the UFO on the ground.
That'd be weird if you weren't.
She wants to run up there, right? And I said, look, I'm not going back into your house alone. We don't know what that thing can do. And if it takes you, I'm suspect number one.
Not really. Right?
I said, I'm not doing that. I got a newborn, right? I'm not doing that. So she goes, okay, well, see if they'll turn their lights on one more time. So I said, just so I know I'm not crazy, out of God's peace, love, and light, can you please turn your light on one final time? Misogynist is the word. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Okay. So the lights come back on. They're just as bright. There's the blue cylinder. And then after 30 seconds, this is what really screwed me up. Remember I was telling you about those power-ups above my house?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. As soon as it stopped, they turned their lights on or off. Then like a light switch, they turn the light back on, then off, then on, then off. And they did this 8, 9, 10 times before everything went dark. And we stood out there. We stood out there. Okay, come on back. Just one more time. Please, just one more time. They never turned their lights back on because I asked them one final time and they're very specific. Okay. So we turn to go back to the house. The lady looks up at the sky and there is this orange orb poking through the cloud. And then it pulled itself back in. And then like a lightning bolt, the bright white light that we saw went shooting right through the clouds and took off. Okay. So that was my holy crap moment.
Yeah.
Five days later, let's continue this because I got to finish the story. 5 days later, I haven't slept in almost 5 days. I have the day off. It's a Wednesday. It's a nice spring day. And it's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We go back to the farm. First time I'd been there since the end. The ladies start having drinks and they introduce, oh, this is Samantha Mowat. And I'm like, hi. How are you? And I'm pacing around the house and we kind of tell Samantha, who at this point is an alleged ET contactee her whole life. I don't know the lady from Adam. And after about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, Samantha, who is 10 years younger than me and way prettier than I am. What? And she says, you want to go outside? Just direct like that. You want to go outside? I said, yeah. And she goes, do you mind if I come with you? Sure. So we go outside. I showed her where the craft was. It was sitting and all this kind of stuff. She starts picking up on the energy. And one of the things that I had picked up through that whole thing was that they dropped something off for me. But I could never find it. Did look for it. Okay. And I used to bring my two dogs over to the farm to run around with the farm's two dogs. And so here we are. And Samantha, all of a sudden, after about 10, 15 minutes, says, hey, do you want to go in the forest? And I went, yep. What the hell? And she goes, you know, we're probably going to see something, right? I said, after what I saw the other day, it doesn't surprise me. I used a little bit more vulgarity at that time. And she goes, and she's looking around and she sees the dogs. She goes, I don't know if we'll actually see anything because from what I know, aliens don't like dogs. No, pardon me. She said ETs. She always calls them ETs. Don't like dogs. So we try to shoo the dogs back to the house. They keep running back after us like it's a game of fetch with an invisible ball. And we're like, well, let's just go try. So we start walking towards the forest and we get towards the trees. The dogs are running ahead. There's a gate there that we have to cross to go into the forest. And so the dogs run into the forest, all four of them. And Samantha and I cross in. We go into the forest. We get about 50 yards in. And Samantha starts looking around with this real perplexed look on her face. And I'm like, what's the matter? And she goes, Dave. And she's looking around. Where's the dogs?
No.
All four dogs are gone. Can't find them. They were right there. Cannot find them. So like stupid white people in a horror movie, we keep going. Okay. And we walk another 50 yards in, and Samantha, to understand Samantha, she's maybe 5'3", long red hair. She's very, very petite, tiny, like a fairy or a pixie. Okay. So she jumps up on this stump and I'm about 18 inches, 2 feet from her. And she goes, Dave, I don't want you to be afraid, but I want you to look that way. And she points north and tell me what you see. So I turn and I look and I say, Samantha, what the F is that? Samantha, what the F is that? What the F is that, Samantha? What is that? Because 200 feet in front of us was a 10 to 12 foot extraterrestrial standing there, middle of the day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, staring back at us. I saw the head. I did not see the arms. I saw the body, which was very thin. Okay. I never saw the legs. And it was tan in color, like if you put too much cream in your coffee. It was a big round head and it was just sitting there. And as time went on, it started to change color and become darker, kind of like a quarter horse or a giraffe, the dark brown of a giraffe.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I didn't see the second being there. I was too fixated on this because I'm looking at this point right now and I'm saying I'm 40 years old. I have a young baby. I am looking at something right now that is not supposed to exist. And there it is right in front of me. Nobody wrote this crap for me. This isn't in the script. And I felt frozen. I want to specify, I was not scared of seeing the being. I was scared that my entire perspective in life just changed. My reality was just turned upside down. So Samantha starts telepathically communicating with the second one. And she goes, Dave, they want us to come over to say hello. They're not here to harm us. They're not here to take us. However, they are worried about the man's health. This is the telepathic communication that she's getting.
Right.
Well, there's Samantha and there's me. And I know that she's not a man, and I know I'm a man, so they were talking about me. They were afraid I would have had a heart attack up there. Okay? So Samantha says, do you want to go meet them? No. No.
Absolutely not.
No, not ready for that. She goes, come on, it'll be fun. I said, no. And she goes, they're not going to harm us. They're not going to take us. They already told us. I said, please don't leave me here. And she starts walking down the path. And I said, Samantha, please come back. I said, we don't know what the hell they are. I saw fire in the sky. Okay. I said, once again, I used my famous line. I'm not walking back to the house alone because I'm suspect number one.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And who's going to believe me when I say aliens took her?
Not the police.
You know.
Right.
No.
So reluctantly, she stayed, and we watched them for about another 15, 20 minutes. And then this is where I figured out that they are how they leave is they give you a signal. And I've had this happen twice now. They give you a signal that if you go somewhere else, you're going to get more contact. And so we, after about 15 minutes, we both got the feeling that we had to go down to another area for contact. So we left the trail. We said goodbye to them. We left the trail and we went down another trail and we're standing there waiting. Okay, where's them aliens? Where are them aliens? There was nothing. Go back to the original spot. They were gone.
They were like psych.
Bait and switch on that one.
Yeah. They get you good.
I've had that happen twice now to me. What, that was the first time I've had it happen once in my house, at my house when I had aliens in my yard. And remember the movie Signs?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember the...
Yeah.
I had that happening in my backyard and up my driveway in a conversation.
No, thank you.
Goodness. That was awesome. Just that awesome.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, I really enjoy the fact that possibly there's this sense of humor going on of like, let's sneak away from these guys. Look over there.
Hold on.
You know, it's funny because I know we got to go to break here, but it's funny that so many of my critics about my story, if they hear my story for the first time or whatever, they're like, oh, that isn't real. That isn't real. That never happened. Well, I had one guy actually in one chat room. Yeah, that never happened. I don't believe you. I said, oh, were you there?
Yeah, exactly.
I said, were you in Mission, British Columbia, up on the hill off of I forget the street it was. And I'm like, were you there?
Yes, I love exact addresses. What was the address? Yeah.
Were you there? Because I don't recall seeing you there. Right?
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I love busting ass on critics. It's one of my hobbies that I do. And
everything about everything in this whole community, whatever, it's all personal experiences. It's nothing that you can be like, no, that's not real. You can't ever say that. You can't say.
You can't really say that in general with life anyway. Someone's 100%. You can't just shoot that down. Like, I had a terrible
time at that party. That other person had the best time ever.
Yeah. That's like me going in. That's like me coming up to you, ladies. Did you do the dishes tonight after dinner? No, I don't believe you. Oh, I don't believe you. Why didn't you do the dishes? Show me your dishes that they're clean. I need proof that you cleaned your dishes.
And I will point to the backyard where I throw them after every meal.
Absolutely.
I live in a protected area of broken dishware.
What's the exact address of that place again?
It is 123 None Your Business Lane.
Oh, right. That's right. You keep telling me that.
The address now.
Stay out of my privacy.
But it was nut bar. It was absolutely nut bar.
I can't wait to hear more after this break. Shut up, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. All right, my little army of darklings, you know that I would follow you into the gates of hell and beyond, holding your hand in proud battle. So I'm going to ask you to trust me on something. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by just about every overpriced wireless provider out there, if I've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, yeah, all right, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't a catch. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings on directly to you, my little darklings. I can tell you, making the switch has saved me hundreds of dollars, and that's no exaggeration. With all that we had going with our phones and the amount of phones that we had on our plan, it was insane. And every carrier was the same, overcharging, overpricing, and fees I wasn't expecting. So say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans and those jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered to you
on the nation's largest 5G network. So now you know what I know and understand why we made a change in the Schrader home. It's time you do that as well. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. There is a $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions do apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
And we're back. Well, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. What were you saying, Jenny?
Oh, now you want to hear from me. So,
the giant
cylinder was something, it sounds like it was something that came down from a bigger ship.
No, this thing was huge. Okay. So measuring it, seeing how tall the trees were. Remember the trees?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Okay.
This thing was about 30 feet high, 20 to 30 feet high.
So what do you think was the purpose of the orange globe sort of thing, orb?
No idea.
That it was shooting back up to it?
I have no idea. We never heard a sound, never heard it leave. Okay. Yeah. We never heard anything. It was just gone, vanished, gone.
And all the people that you've talked to, because you've interviewed so many people and talked to so many people, have you stumbled across experiences that were similar?
No.
Wow.
No. However, as I say that, I had a private conversation with Lou Elizondo, the former head of ATIP at the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. And I described the craft, and he's like, did it change color? I'm like, no, it stayed the blue. And he's like... He goes, I've had reports of people who've had that same cylinder change color from red to green to orange to white to blue, but mine never changed color. Uh-huh. And it's funny because I never saw that blue again until a couple years ago. There was an incident in Hawaii where there was a UFO that went crashing into the ocean. And when they showed footage of it, it was the exact same blue light. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, that was the first time. And then I had someone send me pictures from unfiltered pictures from NASA during the Apollo program. I cannot share them because I made a promise. But on these photos, that same blue is in there. The blue is the closest I've been able to find to it is the emergency lights on a police car, the emergency
blue, except rich blue.
It's a very rich, bright, dark, bright blue. I don't even know how to explain the color, but the emergency lights of a police car is probably the closest that I've been able to see.
That color's been coming up a lot for me lately, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I always think of that color because that color just sort of cuts right through your eyeballs.
Yes.
It's like bright and painful, but not actually physically painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you asked earlier about alien species.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm tending to believe that this was Arcturian. That's what Samantha and I kind of discussed in studying it. And I've seen about 5 different species of gray. Okay. So I've seen the 3.5-4 footers that kind of look like a mixture of a gray and ET. That was my first abduction that I recalled, September 30th, 2014. And that's actually a funny story. Because when we came out of the forest, I had a conversation with Samantha that she has zero recall over to this day. And she asked me point blank, had I ever been taken before? And I said, no, not that I recall. I don't think so. And she goes, okay, just so you know, after this, there's a good chance that it's going to happen. And 4 months later, it did. Right. So that was pretty radical. So there's those guys, they're about 3.5-4 feet with the childlike fingers. And then the second one that I saw, I just had a blip screen in my head of these tall grays where all I heard them say was, and it was weird because I heard it in English, he's awake, get him out of here. And I remember punching one of them, the one in front of me. And he went flying back. And then next thing I know, I was just bang, like something hit me right up here and I was out. The third one, no, that was the third one. The second one was Carl. I've nicknamed him Carl.
Okay.
Now, Carl, I got a picture of kind of what he looks like here. Okay, so this is a computer rendering. But Carl actually, on April 20th, 2015, a year later, actually appeared at my window while I was broadcasting the show.
Oh, wow.
This is kind of what Carl looks like.
Okay.
Except without like the forehead, right? And so Carl showed up, and it was Carl and his buddies when they came back that were doing the in my yard.
Oh.
Yeah. So
can I ask you a question before you continue? Because we had a guest a few weeks ago that said if you have if you've had an experience of being abducted or invited, as we like to say here, you probably have always had that since you were very young. Do you feel like you have always had that and you just were more conscious of it in the past?
No. For me, I don't know. I haven't gone that far back in regression. I have gone far back that there. I have had more communication than what I think.
Yeah,
I actually played a giant part of that for my audience.
Oh, wow.
The regression of the recording. And it was weird. It was very weird. And there's so much more in my head that I don't know that, you know, but I don't really buy, you know, I don't buy a lot of matter of fact stuff in this field.
Oh, sure.
So when people are matter of fact that, oh, if you've been taken once, you've been taken your whole life. I don't really buy that.
That's totally fair.
Yeah. And so many different experiences. When you're doing sort of the regression stuff, now, does that need to be a very slow process just so that you can start to wrap your mind? Because you did mention earlier, and we've heard this from other guests before, and it makes perfect sense, the emotional sort of ramifications of your reality sort of shifting. So with the regression, is that like any other like therapy? Like it takes like a very long time to sort of peel back and uncover?
Geraldine Orozco did mine in 2022. And we had tried for a 20-30 minute session. Mm-hmm. And I was out for 2.5 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And there's a part of the tape that is kind of personal. I've never really pushed that, you know, because I know going into that in my pre-interview, I said, if anything personal comes up, keep it till the end. And, you know, because that way, if I did play the tape for my audience, which I did, I don't really want them to hear my personal stuff, you know? And so I kept that, and that was pretty interesting through all around. Cause I never thought I could be hypnotized. I'd tried once before for regression therapy and my guides totally yanked me out of it. Like I woke right up and I'm like, you aren't getting any further. And she's like, what? I said, you're not getting any further. I said, you're not allowed.
Wow. I never thought about it like that.
But Geraldine was able to get it out of me.
Finesse her way in there.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, but I mean, for somebody like me with the connections that I have, and I'm not saying this to brag, but the connections that I have made over the years through SOR, I have built up a nice stable of people who are more professional in understanding what to do than I am. I'm the continuing student who's I'm one of those students who's been at university for 25 years and, you know, but still doesn't have a degree, you know?
That's what Jenny and I are striving for.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
You know, so.
Respect.
And so I just kind of play it the way it is. And I don't really give a care who believes me or not. You know, mm-hmm. Like I said, I love the trolls who come out, you know, and it makes it a lot of fun. It does.
So are the tan guys the big tall tan guys, well, are they of the same sort of ilk as the grays, or are those completely different?
According to Samantha, because I never saw the guy. Okay. I never saw the guy. With the craft, but according to Samantha, he was about a 6 foot, what we call tanned gray. So shape of gray, head of the gray, big eyes like a gray, except he was tan colored.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, but as I've gone down this path, I would say that, you know, never mind my own experiences or anything, but it has become quite a learning experience. The biggest learning experience I have learned is that it doesn't matter whether you're chasing ghosts or Bigfoot or Dogman or aliens and UFOs, it's all under one phenomena, and the phenomena is all encompassing. You know, there is no division between the subjects. And I think that's why a big reason why we're not solving a lot or getting close to even solving a lot of these mysteries, because everybody wants to segregate everything. I mean, if most paranormal people out there, if they could actually, you know, come to the realization that they're not there doing anything scientific, they're there playing games with ghosts, that would be wonderful. If the cryptid world would understand that not everything is flesh and blood and not everything is woo, then that would be better. You know, if all alien experiencers would just tell the truth of what's going on rather than elaborating on a good story and making it fictional just because you want a little bit of airtime on a podcast or YouTube channel, that would be wonderful too.
Yeah. Everything in this whole thing is so, so related. And so it's so vast that just trying to concentrate on one thing, and everyone has their thing that they like to concentrate on. And
everybody's perspective is going to be different. Everybody's experience is going to be different.
Listen, that party sucks, is all I'm saying. And Jenny, I don't care what you say.
It gets to a good point of what you just said, Jen, is that everybody's experience is different. Mm-hmm. Because you can take 5-10 people, have a UFO experience, and 10 people are going to see 10 different things.
Yeah,
exactly.
How does that happen? I think it happens because the phenomena wants everybody to experience it differently. So like when I saw a black triangle, most people who see a black triangle see the three points on the ends. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've seen two black triangles. The first one that I saw, the entire undercarriage was lit up. Okay. Like that never happens. You never see that. Okay. Or when, you know, we've had instances with Sasquatch where I don't know where they were, but this one guy was talking to us and couldn't see him. Where was he? He was only within 40 feet of us and he was talking directly at us. Where was he? Don't know.
Well, and it's a thing about our brains as well, that people experience one situation completely differently anyway, regardless of anyone else's, you know, influence. The way I see something is going to be completely different than how Tressa sees something, you know, and then you play into the them sort of wanting us to experience different things. And who knows, you know, who knows where that comes from? That's the whole magic about this entire phenomena, is that it's so vast and we have such little understanding. We love hearing all kinds of ideas, all kinds of perspectives, because, you know, I haven't experienced everything. Tressa has, but that's a whole different conversation.
No, I fully get that. I fully agree. And the perspective is what you see is going to be different. This is why I kind of have had this slogan with SOR since the beginning, is I always believe that I've never stood in your shoes. Right. Who am I to sit there and tell you that your experience didn't happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who am I? Now, if you listen closely, you can tell when somebody's blowing your own horn. Okay. You can tell when somebody's pulling the wool over their eyes and making things up. You can tell. But when you get somebody who is genuine and honest telling you an incredible story, like, I'll give you an example. On Facebook today, there was this guy whining and complaining how he brings in all of these big name people to be interviewed on his UFO podcast, but he's not getting any ratings and he's frustrated. I said, that's because you're doing what everybody else does. Yeah. Think outside the box. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do it different. Yeah. Look at what people are not doing, and then go and do that. It's not about graphics. It's not about having the big names. It's not about anything. It's about people who tune in because they want information, number one, and number two, they want a big story. They want a story that's going to make them think. And that's what we try to provide.
And honestly, just on a different creative level, every person has their own personality. Every creative endeavor is different because everyone that's doing it is different. Embrace that.
Absolutely.
We should try doing that.
I don't want to. It sounds hard.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just do it.
We've got the cylinder ship, and then the triangular ship. What more ships have you seen?
I've seen rods that look like they have dumbbells on them. That was kind of cool. I saw one black triangle with a friend of mine that I swear if you would put it over top of a city, it would have blacked out the city. It was that large.
Oh my goodness.
That was crazy.
I've heard of similar stories about
lots of orbs. Okay. Seen lots of orbs. I'll tell you a great abduction story. So a lot of time, I think we got time for two. Do we have time for two?
Yeah, sure, we go do. For it.
Okay. Which one do you want? Story one or story two?
Story two. And then we can do story one.
Sure. All right. So it's after the show. I go to bed. Okay. And a lot of when I know I'm having alien abduction is when I dream about aliens. Okay. Because I don't remember my dreams, but if it's aliens, oh, I remember. I get snippets that they give me recall. So this one night, I remember it was dead of winter. It was like minus 30 degrees Celsius outside. So this is how I know it was a dream, because this was all about a springtime dream. I'm talking on my driveway to my buddy, and it's a nice spring day, and I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And I remember I kept looking to my right, and there was this completely blue sky. But, you know, in springtime, there's always that one dark cloud that just hangs out in a perfectly blue sky. So I'm staring at that cloud, and I drop my phone. So in typical dream fashion, I pick up my phone. It's now upside down and backwards. I'm like, can you hear me, Eric? Can you hear me? And as I'm looking to the right, I see this UFO flying by. And I can't get Eric to hear me because, you know, in a dream state, you're stupid. You can't figure out how to hold the phone. And I said to him, I have to go inside now because I don't want to be taken tonight. Oh. I don't want to be taken. And as the craft starts coming towards my house, I start walking from my driveway to go under my carport to go into my house. Problem is, as I kept walking, I started walking into the air towards the crowd. And I kept yelling at the craft, I told you I didn't want to go today. I told you I didn't want to go today. Now, remember, I think this is a dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Until I woke up and I was 3 feet above my bed, being dropped into my bed. Oh. And I wailed my arms out. I hit my partner right across the back, waking her up. And she's like, what the hell are you doing? And I said, I just got back.
Oh, God.
And she's like, oh, are you okay? I said, think so. I said, I just dropped 3 feet in the air onto the bed. I said, that was awesome. Right? Like literally, I was staring right at my light, at my ceiling light. That was about a foot and a half above me. And I fell right back into bed. It was fantastic.
Oh, I mean, that's the best reaction to something like that because it really is real bad.
Yes. So, do either one of you wear a Fitbit or a smartwatch?
No.
Yeah, I have a smartwatch.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Okay. What if I were to tell you that it picks up alien abduction?
Awesome. Tell me more.
How does this work? And how do I get rid of Tressa? I mean,
hey.
So another dream state dream. I was at this, in my dream, at this hotel. Okay, I remember it being a two-towered hotel with like a convention center. And there was like a UFO show going on. And I remember a few people there, but namely Dr. Bob McGuire, who we call Science Bob. Okay.
Sure.
And Science Bob and I are running around the hotel. He's like, what are you panting for? I said, dude, I'm being chased by these grays, man. He said, there's two of them on one in one group and one in the other. I'm being chased around. He's like, oh, my God. And, you know, I wake up in the morning and it feels like I haven't slept a wink. Like every joint in my body is hurting and stiff. It was so bad that I actually in the morning as I'm getting up to go to work and getting ready, when I was in the shower, I actually laid on the floor to shower because my body hurt to stand.
Oh my God.
Okay? Like I was in so much aching pain.
Yeah.
And so I walk out my door. I call up Science Bob and I said, hey Bob, how'd you sleep last night? He goes, what do you mean? He goes, his ex-wife, he was still with his ex-wife back then. He goes, well, she got up in the middle of the night because she thought she heard somebody downstairs. He goes, I kind of tossed and turned all night. And he's like, I'm like, okay, well, this is what happened to me. Told him a story. And I said, Bob, you were there. Oh, cool. And he's just downplaying it. It's pissing me off.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
8 hours later, I got a phone call back from him. And he goes, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? He goes, well, your story's been bugging me all day. He goes, I checked my Fitbit. And my Fitbit had me wide awake running around for 90 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, it's not a guarantee, but I told this story to a couple of my contacts within the agencies. And they said, we've been tracking alien abduction since the smartphones came out and could take your like blood pressure and count your steps and everything. He goes, we've been doing that for a while.
Oh, that's so good.
We got to look at your Fitbit.
And it's not guaranteed that it's aliens, but it gives a direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
What are you going for a jog at night? Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's insane. Listen, so we need to start a GoFundMe so that I can get a smartwatch or a Fitbit, and then you and I just compare notes as to what happens in the middle of the night when we're apparently jogging or getting infected. Yeah.
That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do.
I have a question. So we hear a lot of stories. I hear a lot of stories. Some of the stories that I hear involve there being an implant after you've been abducted. Like we definitely had a guest on who was talking about implants. Is that something that you have ever experienced? What?
Why do you sound like you're lying, Jenny? We definitely had a guest on.
Definitely. We totally did. I heard it somewhere. And
how long do you
go? Go for as long as you want.
Remember I told you the little alien dudes are okay.
Yeah. Carl?
No, before Carl.
Oh, before
Carl. The little alien dudes that were, you know, looked like matter of ET and a gray at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. September 30th, 2014, I go to bed just like I would any other time. And I wake up to the feeling of little children's fingers running through my hair. I'm lying on a metal table and I pick my head up from the donut. You know how the massage chairs have the donut? Okay, that you put your head in. And I pick my head up from that. I turn right. It's dark. I turn left because I saw light. And I turn left. And there's these three little gray dudes. I went, oh my God, I'm being abducted. So I put my head back down.
Right? No, thinking, thank you.
Let's see what they do. Okay. So the one guy comes over my left shoulder and he starts perusing through my hair again. Then the second guy comes over and I feel him cut me in the back of the head.
No.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Rude. And I'm like grinding my teeth. I'm like, oh God, that didn't feel good. You know, cause I got a high pain tolerance. And then he starts pulling on my skin this way. Uh-uh. And I'm feeling this. And then I heard the saw.
No, absolutely. No, thank you. Nope. Mm-hmm.
And I remember like, oh God, this doesn't feel good. And it was weird. All of a sudden, do you remember when I said about Samantha, where she said, have you ever been taken before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I told you that when we came out of the forest. Yeah. Well, one of the things Samantha said on that conversation that she has no recall over was, Dave, it doesn't hurt. Just let them do their thing.
She's a liar.
Did she just lie but a here's lot?
Here's the thing that makes sense now. Yeah. I hear her voice in my head saying, don't worry, Dave, it doesn't hurt. And all of a sudden, I start laughing. Okay. And I'm feeling what they're doing and they're trying to, I feel them literally trying to jam something into my skull.
Yeah.
Okay. And I told Lorian Fenton this story. She's a longtime ET contactee and people who does recordings of them. She goes, Dave, you know how I know that your story is true? I said, how? She goes, it's what you said. And this is what I'm saying next. All of a sudden I had to pee. Okay.
Hold up. Can we just
quick? I had to pee. And you know when we've all done it, so let's just be honest. You go to the bar, you have a number of drinks with your friends, and the last thing you want to do is break the seal because then you're going to be running to the bathroom every 6 minutes. Okay, yeah. We've all done that. You know, nothing to be ashamed of. Well, this is what I'm feeling. And my head's in the donut. They're working on the back of my head and I start yelling at them. I said, like, "Guys, you got to get me back. I got to piss. I got to pee so bad." I said, I'm going to pee all over your table, make a mess. I am not wanting this. Okay. Like, get me back right now. And all of a sudden I feel them scrambling and everything. Next thing I know, I wake up on top of my blankets, my face buried in my pillow. My head feels like I am as hungover as anything. And if you knew me, you'd know I actually do not drink very often. I drink maybe once a year. Okay. And I had nothing to drink that night. I run to the bathroom, my right hand's on my head because it's killing me. I yank down my pajama pants and I stand there for about 5 minutes with the best pee of my life.
I think we all learned something. If you don't want to be there, say you have to pee and they will send
That's
you
right.
straight home.
This right. is, so, I think you just got the key on this one.
So that was my first alien abduction encounter.
That you right remember.
Yep. Cheers to that.
Yes. Wow. Right. We are out of time. And I can't believe that.
I have so many more notes to take, though. We need a Fitbit. Yeah. If you're mm-hmm. ever abducted, you just got to talk about how much you got to pee.
You can call me back. I'll come back.
Yes.
Yay.
High five. That's how we do it. Oh, this way. Mm-hmm.
And for all my, just one quick thing for all my audience members that have come over preparing for my show, I see you all in the chat room. Hi, I love you. We'll see you in about an hour. But do yourself a favor. These ladies are amazing. Jenny, or I think it's Yenny, soft J. And Tressa, They're amazing. If you haven't yet, do them the favor, just like you did for me. Hit that subscribe button, ring that bell.
And thank you so much for joining us this pre-show for Dave's show.
Sorry. It happens.
Check out Spaced Out Radio. It's an amazing show. These interviews are incredible.
It doesn't get better for me. That's my best right there. But it's a great show that we have here. Thank you for joining us. Everybody else, we'll see you next week. Don't forget to subscribe and rate and do those things and junk. And we'll see you later. Bye.